Good morning. This is Kevin Woolley, Minister of Music at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church. We'd like to welcome you to our morning worship services with Pastor Bruce Rudd.
If you would, if you have your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 1. And the title of the message this morning is The Power of the Blood. And I'm going to preach two or three messages on the blood. And you may wonder, why am I preaching on the blood? Because I think that in the times that we're living in right now, and with all that the chaos in the world and the things that we're going through, we need to have a thorough understanding of the blood. And you need to know the whys behind what you believe. So I pray through this series that you'll learn a lot of the whys behind what you believe. But let's look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Let's start in Genesis 1, 26. Then we're going to move to chapter 2, starting in verse 4. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Now look at chapter 2, verse 4. He says, "This is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created. In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, before any plant of the field was in the earth, and before any herb of the field had grown. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man to till the ground. But a mist went up from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground." Now watch verse 7. "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." Now look at verse 15. I know it's a lot of scripture, but you need to get this. Verse 15 through 19. "Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die.' And the Lord God said, 'It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him.' And out of the ground," notice out of the ground again, "the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name." The first point that I want you to see is this, that life is in the blood. Life is in the blood. I want to read a passage from Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11, that's very important. The Bible says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood." Now, that's really important. And he says, "And I have given it to you," so we already have forward-looking to the Messiah at the cross. He says, "For I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes atonement for your soul." So, life is in the blood. And think about this. Adam was the first created human being. Now, I don't think Adam has a belly button. We'll know when we get to heaven. We can look and ask him. But he didn't need one because Adam was created. And so we have Adam that was created. Then we have Eve that was created. Now, that's really important to understand the virgin birth of Jesus later. So listen to this and think this through. When God created Adam, the Bible said that he created Adam in his own image. An image, if you look in the mirror this morning, you got an image of yourself. Adam was to look like the character of God. When God made Adam, he wanted Adam to have likeness. He wanted Adam to have a God character. He wanted Adam to be able to fellowship with him on a daily basis, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He wanted Adam to be in constant praise and constant worship, so to speak, a constant communion with Adam. And so when God created Adam, he formed him, the Bible says. And he formed him, and the Bible says that he is the potter and that we are the clay. And he formed Adam. And then he made all of his organs. He sewed him together. He put him together. And he put miraculous life in Adam. But Adam couldn't become a living being until that blood couldn't even start flowing until Adam received the breath of life. We'll look at that in a little bit. So Adam had life in his blood. God created him in his own image. Now think about something too here. You and I have inherited blood. Our blood was inherited. I inherited my blood from my parents. My parents inherited their blood from their parents. And you can trace our blood all the way back to Adam. And so our blood is an inherited blood. Adam's blood was a created blood. It's really important to get this. Eve was made from the rib of Adam. I always wondered, I ought to ask Jennifer, she's here today, does a man have one less rib than a woman because he had to use one to make the woman? I don't know. Jennifer, I don't know. Is that true? No, we have the same amount of ribs. That's good to know. We got a spare. And so life is in the blood. Now think about this. Hebrews 10:5, because I want to do a parallel on this life. Hebrews 10:5, this is Jesus. This is the Bible speaking of Jesus, the Word from the Old Testament. But it's quoted in the New. He says, "But a body you have prepared for me." Then I said, "Behold, I have come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do your will, O God." You see, in Adam we all die, but in Christ we live. Why? Because the blood covenant got broke in Adam. Therefore, anybody born after Adam sinned inherited the sin nature. Had Adam and Eve had children before they fell, then that blood would have been passed to their children. That life that they had would have been passed to their children, but their children still would have had a gospel because their children would have had the same rule, don't eat from that tree of good and knowledge, of the knowledge of good and evil. And so they would have had the same command, but that never took place because Adam and Eve sinned prior to having their children. Now, we don't know how long Adam and Eve lived prior to the fall. We know that they could have lived and lived and lived and lived, just continued living, had they not fallen and eaten of that tree, because there was no death in the blood. But the minute that he sinned, there was death in the blood. There was a need of a Savior. There was a need of a seed to come. That's what Jesus meant when he, remember, he talked to the man on the road to Emmaus, and you can write down Luke chapter 24, verse 44, and it was there that Jesus said that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses. That's the five books of Moses, Genesis through Deuteronomy. And the prophets, that's all the prophets, and the Psalms concerning me. In other words, Jesus was saying, you get your life back in the blood that will come from another new man, a new Adam, which would be Jesus Christ. By the way, he had to be born of a virgin so that his blood could be created for his body, so that it was a divine, innocent, spotless blood, unblemished. So you have two humans. You have the God-man, Jesus, 100% God, 100% man. You have Adam. And Adam came with a unique blood created in the likeness of God. He was not God, but his blood and his life was in the likeness and mirrored the image of God. Then later, we have a whole bunch of lost people between them. Then Jesus comes. His blood and his body was prepared for him. It was created by God as a body that was sinless, as a body that had blood that was created as divine and pure and innocent without any inheritance of sin. So keep that in mind as we go through this. But then number two, and I want you to catch this. God made a covenant of blood with Adam when he was created. Look at verse 26, Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us, by the way, that should be capitalized in your Bible. That's the Trinity of God. Make man. Now that word man there is the same as Adam, by the way. in our, and our is capitalized. Again, that's the Holy Trinity. God saying, let us make man like our, like the character of the Trinity, like the character of the Father, the character of the Son, the character of the Holy Spirit. And he said, let's make them according to our likeness, what we're like. Let them have dominion. God has dominion. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle and all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So here we have God making Adam, not in a sinful way at all, making Adam in a very holy way, in a very like-minded way. And then look at verse 7, chapter 2, verse 7. And we have the how this finished, how God finished this. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. We're going to look at that word dust in a minute. And breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being. Now, you might remember when we were going through the minor prophets on Wednesday nights, and those were really difficult, those 12 minor prophets. It was the first time I've preached verse by verse through all 12 of the minor prophets, and it really opened my eyes to a lot of things that I had never discovered before. But I can remember when we were doing that, we were in Hosea, our first book, and I remember when we got to Hosea chapter 6, verse 7, that stunned me. And I decided to do some research and to study that verse and to find out what part of the covenant God was talking about. Let me read it to you. Hosea chapter 6, verse 7. He says, but like men, they have transgressed the covenant. There they dealt treacherously with me. The M is capitalized. The word for men, but like men, it may even have it in your concordance, in your Bible. It does in mine. Should have a little number beside it. That word for men is Adam. It's even in my center concordance, referencing it that way. Now read it with that word for Adam. But like Adam, they transgressed the covenant. We have to ask ourselves, what covenant did Adam transgress? Well, he was told not to eat of the tree of the good of the knowledge of good and evil. But the covenant was broken because he broke the covenant of blood that God had made with him. Let me explain how that works. This is very interesting, and I hope it makes sense to you. I'll do my best to make it make sense. There's two things you got to understand about Adam. You've got to understand what his name means, number one, and then you've got to understand how he was made, how God made him. Adam's name, in a general sense, literally means man. That's why it cross-references from man to Adam, Adam to man. Okay? But then we got to break up what the actual Hebrew letters mean. Remember, the Hebrew alphabet was not like our alphabet. Our alphabet has single digits, A through Z, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, like that. But if you were doing the Hebrew alphabet, each letter means something. Each letter is actually a word, and it was used in all kinds of meanings. That's why Hebrew names and Hebrew words are so important to understand, to see into some of the mysteries and some of the neat things of God. And so the name for Adam, literally meaning man in a general sense. But watch this. The A in Adam, how does it start? Starts with A. That word A literally is Aleph in Hebrew. Guess what that represents? That's Elohim. Elohim is creator God. Okay, now watch this. So you have the Elohim right off the bat, creator God. That's and by the way, that's a plural form for God. Isn't it interesting in verse 126? A couple of times there we see the Trinity involved in the creation of Adam. God is perfect in everything that he does. Now, there's another part of Adam. You have the A, you have the Aleph, you have the Elohim, creator God. Then you have Dam, and that's how it's pronounced in the Hebrew, Dam, D-A-M. Dam means literally blood, okay? So now what we have in Adam's name, now watch this, just in his name, when God names him, now we find that his name means creator God, blood. Now, why would God put blood in his name. Now, to get the rest of the story, you have to look at how he was created. God formed him in Genesis 2:7 from the dust of the ground. The dust of the ground. The word for the dust, the ground that is used right there, is Adama. It's Adam with the added A-H. You say, why is the ground named the same thing as his name, except with an A-H? Because God is trying to show us something. Okay, so that tells us, you say, what is the A-H? What's that H? The H is a Hebrew letter that is hey, H-E-Y. Now watch this. That is the, God breathed that life into him in Genesis 2:7. And that hey, that H-E-Y, represents the covenant God, his covenant side of God, which is where we call him Adonai, Jehovah. So here we have God making Adam from the dust of the ground out of Adama. Having him making it, and we see that the breath, the H is the breath of God. That's the Holy Spirit that came to in the created Adam to have fellowship with Adam. Just as in Jesus, we too are new creations. We have the Holy Spirit that comes to live in our heart so that you and I can commune with God. But the only way we can commune with God is when we die to self completely. When you die to self, there's no fear. When you die to self, there's no worry. When you die to self, all of those things that are about me disappear. Why? Because now we are placing ourselves under the blood sacrifice and covering of Jesus Christ. That's exactly what Paul was saying. Just as Jesus spilt his blood to cover us, and he died to spill that blood, you and I have to die to ourselves in order to walk in the power of God by the power of his blood in present tense. We can be saved positionally and on our way to heaven, but living earthly in fear and in anxiety and in worry by the things that we see on the news, by the things that happen in our lives. And so we have to say, how can I escape that fear? How do I escape that anxiety? How do I escape that worry? It's by that blood covenant that you have with Jesus Christ. And that's why 1 John 1:9 says, for the blood of Jesus, if we confess our sins, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from our sins. That's present tense. You see, the blood didn't just have power 2,000 years ago. The blood has power in your life every minute of every day until you're with the Lord and then for all of eternity. That's how powerful that blood is. Now watch this. So we know right now that Adam's name means Creator God Blood. Adam. The D-A-M is blood. The A is Creator God, Elohim. Now watch this. We go to the dirt, the dust, and we have the H. The H is a calm, quiet breath of God. It's the Holy Spirit. It's that still, small voice. It's the work and the character of the Spirit that worked within Adam when he was created. Now watch this. If the H comes from the Adama, and we know that that is Adonai, Jehovah, God, covenant God. It's his covenant name, by the way, is Adonai. Now watch this. Here's the final answer to Adam's name. You might want to write this down, because when I learned this, it blew my mind. I already knew that he was Creator God Blood. I'd studied that in the past. Never knew this part. Here's his name. Adam, before the fall, here's what your name means. Creator God, Blood Covenant God. Wow. Blood Covenant God. He's saying, Adam, I made a blood covenant with you. He's saying, Adam, I put in your blood life. Adam, I breathed my Holy Spirit into your life. I gave you life, and you can live and live. You can eat of the tree of life year after year, and you can live forever. But don't touch that tree of good and evil, because then the day that you eat of it, you'll break the blood covenant. You'll break it. And if you eat of it, Satan will come in, and the glory of God will depart. And you will die. Your body will begin to decay. You will be subject to illness. You will be subject to toil. The thorns are going to change. The rose that you can grab and hold in your hand will have a thorn on it to hold in your hand.
The blackberry bushes that you walk through will have thorns. The bull nettles will have thorns, and they'll remind you of it. All of these things will be cursed. Everything, creation, you, creation had to be cursed because God gave Adam dominion over creation. God gave Adam dominion over and had him name the animals because Adam was walking in the likeness of God. He was not God, but he was reflecting God. We get that in our new nature in the blood of Jesus. Now, watch this. You say, I'm still interested in what you said earlier. I have fear. I have anxiety. I have worry. I don't understand all these things that are going on in our world today. I don't know what the future holds. I have anxiety about the elections. I have anxiety about all the riots. I have anxiety about our economy. I have anxiety about the security of my children and my grandchildren. I have all these anxieties. How can I control those anxieties? Here's how you control them. Write down Galatians 2:20, because you don't want to miss this. Now remember, Adam's name meant Creator God, Blood Covenant God. Now we have a new Adam that has come, that's Jesus Christ. And Jesus wants us to be like him. Paul says, here's how you do it. Here's the secret. Galatians 2:20. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. Now he wasn't on the cross with Christ. But Christ had him there when he died on the cross. Christ had him there. He says, it is no longer I who live. As long as we're living for self, we'll have all the concerns of self. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Remember, before Adam fell, it was Christ. Christ has been around for everlasting. He's the Son of Man that was back there in verse 26 in Genesis when the Bible said, let us make man in our image. But he lost the image when he sinned against God. He marred that image. And Jesus came to bring it back. And Paul says, if you want to live out the image again, Paul says, if you want to experience the communion and the fellowship again the way Adam had it before he sinned, here's how you've got to do it. You've got to do it like this. You've got to be crucified with Christ. You got to die to self, because as long as self is living, Christ has been pushed to the side. And what I mean is not physically, but spiritually. When self is in control, it's all about us. When self is in control, it's about our flesh. It's about our worries. It's about our greeds. It's about all the things of the flesh. That's where worry comes. That's where fear comes. That's where anxiety comes. And Paul's saying, you got to die to that. You got to die to it if you want that communion of that blood and that relationship to be special. He says, the life which I now live in the flesh, here it is, I live by faith. Faith. Our faith rests on something logical. It rests on Christ's blood that God approved and accepted on our behalf. In the Son of God, that's the seed of Genesis 3:15 that was to come. Who loved me. Jesus came to this earth and he lived. I love that song. I heard it on the radio this morning. Living, he loved me. Something like that. Or loving, he lived me. I don't remember how it goes. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried it. Am I on the same right song? Buried, he carried my sins far away. Sometimes I get hymns and songs mixed up. You know what Jesus is saying? What Paul is saying? He's saying he loved me. That's the life he lived prior to the cross. He loved me. He came to save me. He came to live under the law that I couldn't fulfill. He fulfilled the law for me. And then he continued to love me. He gave himself for me. That's the altar of Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11, that God gave of his blood as an atonement. That's a payment. The word atonement means payment, to pay for our sin debt. This is why Paul could say later in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that we are new creations. And it's because of that blood. You say, I want to be like that created Adam. I want to have a walk like Adam had before he sinned. You got to do it through your new creation. You got to die to yourself, or you'll worry, you'll be anxious, you'll be fearful. You die to yourself. You say, Jesus, live in me. You apply the blood to your life today. You say, God, place me under the covering of your blood. God, Your blood removed all of my flaws. Your blood removed all of my sin. It atoned for it, it paid for it, and it covered me. And Lord, it is by your blood that I have strength, because I am identified with you by your blood. Remember when Jesus said, and I've got to hurry, but remember when Jesus said, unless you drink of my blood. What did he mean by that? Who drinks other people's bloods? In covenants of the Old Testament, a lot of times they would split a carcass in half. Same thing happened in Genesis with Abraham. They would split an animal carcass in half, and they would separate the two carcasses, and then they would walk between the carcasses, the two covenanting parties. And when they walked between the carcasses, they would take and they would sometimes cut the palm of the hand or the wrist to where it would bleed, and they would clasp each other's hands until their blood intermingled. It meant what is mine is yours and what is yours is mine, and I will fight for you to the death to protect you and your family. This covenant of blood makes a covenant that cannot be broken. Then they would take, after they mingled their blood, and this is gross, but this is what they did. They would let their blood drip in a cup of wine. And then this one would let his blood drip in a cup of wine. And then they would cross. I'll give you my wine, you give me your wine with your blood. Then they would drink it. If it was a covenant of life and death, a covenant that they would not break, they wouldn't just take a gulp. Jesus said, unless you drink of my blood. He was speaking metaphorically. They would drink the whole cup of wine with the blood in it. Meaning that now I have a blood covenant with you, and you have a blood covenant with me, and nothing will break that covenant. Jesus made a blood covenant with you. He is our point three, and I'm almost done. Salvation and forgiveness of sin is in the blood. After Adam and Eve sinned, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, the Bible says, and I will put enmity, it means hostility or opposition, between you and the woman. Now we know that the you right there is the serpent. That's the devil that deceived them. And between your seed, little s, and her seed. That's how Adam and Eve knew there would be a redeemer. You see, when Adam and Eve sinned, Adam made fig leaves to cover his sin. I believe that the Bible just says an animal was killed and God made a garment off of an innocent animal to cover Adam's sin. I believe that was a lamb. That lamb didn't do anything to deserve that. That lamb was going about its business and it had to die on behalf of the sin of Adam. That was God saying that this seed that comes will be by redeeming blood. Adam knew he broke the Hosea 6:7 principle. He knew he broke the covenant of God. Adam knew that. And so, Adam, you say, is Adam and Eve in heaven? I truly believe they are. I believe they are because I believe they believed Genesis 3:15. I believe they believed when God said, where you at, Adam? He didn't mean geographically. Adam knew God knew where he was at. He meant dispositionally. Where you at? You're no longer communion with me. Where are you? We're separated, Adam. How come you're not with me? That's why it's important that you can be positionally saved and on your way to heaven, but walking in the flesh instead of surrendering to self and saying, I die to myself. No longer will I be anxious, fearful, and worrisome. I'm going to live under the blood and the covenant relationship that I have Jesus Christ, whom died for me, so that the breath of life, the Holy Spirit that came to live in me at salvation, I can commune with God via the Spirit to Jesus Christ, to the Father. That's how it works. And so, it is that through the blood of Jesus that we are saved. Now, I want to end with this right here. Whenever Adam sinned, some things left him that he had before. The spirit of life departed. That was his godlike nature. The second thing that happened, his body chemistry changed. His thinking became different. His personality changed. Everything about Adam changed when he sinned. He was alive physically, but his body was on a crash course with decay and subject to illness and suffering. That's why Jesus said in John 10:10, I have come that they may have life, because at the garden of the tree of good and evil where he sinned, death came. And that they may have it more abundantly, never to lose it again. A life you can't lose. A life you can't taint. because it would be by a different blood. It would come through the blood of the divine Savior, Jesus Christ. Is that a blessing or what?
Thank you for choosing to worship with us via the radio today. Come join us anytime at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church.